Get ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch out, bro! This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. My name is John Romano, and I'm joined, as always, by my younger statesman, Dave Palumbo. Dave, what's happening there in good old Long Island's future home of John Romano?
Yeah, I hear you found a place to live, finally.
Yep, our good friend Nancy Norman, Ron Norman's wife, found me a really great spot in for me and Max, and I'm excited. I'm coming home. It's actually just a couple of miles from where I grew up in Woodbury.
Wow. Yeah, I hear you're living right by my favorite restaurant, Blackstone's.
Yep.
Which actually, I think Derek Anthony just went on a date there also a couple days ago. Too.
Did he really take Juliana Malacarne out?
I believe he did.
Yeah,
what he told me.
He fucking took fucking Juliana fucking went to fucking Blackstone's. My fucking Corvette. John, you fucking come out here. I fucking take you too.
Hey, you know, Derek, the only reason Jeff is doing that is because Derek was insulted that we don't imitate him.
Can oh, really?
That? Yeah, he told Jeff that, right?
I just wanted to get it right before I did it, so I had to do it for him in front of him, so Derek knows he's cool people, so.
Oh, is it Derek approved? Is the imitation
Derek
approved?
Yeah, fucking Jeff the fucking producer. He's the fucking best, let me tell you. I mean, he's going to do a fucking gag commercial. He'll be fucking great. You can fucking see.
We decided that Jeff should do the Gat voiceover for Derek instead of Derek because he sounds better than Derek does.
He actually does. He has better voice inflection. Good Damn. Lord.
Anyway, well, you know, this past weekend was the NPC Long Island, John, and we were out in full force, all of RX Muscle, the whole crew, obviously minus you, but, you know, that won't be happening for very long.
Those days are numbered.
Jeff, the producer, was out there. Sean had to go to a wedding, so Sean wasn't there either. But we brought Colette, Sarah, Jeff's girlfriend was there. Jeff had a little problem getting to the venue, though. He got lost about 400 times driving. Because he doesn't, you know what? Jeff is like really smart, but sometimes he doesn't take directions that well.
He was so mad.
I was pissed.
He was holding it in. He was ready to explode.
I was fucking mad. Normally the drive would take about an hour and 10 minutes, and it took me about, what, like 2.5 hours?
Yeah, at least. Final time when he was actually like right there, I said, all right, all you got to do is make a left, and it's down the road. He's like, what? What way? I said, left. He's like, what way? I said, left. So he calls me back a half hour later. I'm like, where the fuck are you? He's like, I'm seeing things for West Islip. I said, you're in the wrong direction. He's like, I said, what way did you go on that road? He's like, I went right. Someone told me to go west. I said, I didn't tell you to go west. So, you know, even he knew he was ridiculous at that point. So I said, look, take your time, take a deep breath.
You know, in this day and age, the $9 I spend a month on my navigator option on my phone is the most invaluable thing, probably tops the list of all enhancements I've ever purchased in my entire life. It's you just punch in the address, it tells you how to get there, no matter where you are, no matter what city, and it's on your phone. It's not like you got to buy another piece of thing.
What's your birthday, Jeff?
Well, look, it passed already, but John, that's a good idea. I should probably invest in that.
Yeah, I think we should buy him one, John.
I mean, geez, and especially when you don't know where you're going, you're in a strange city, if we're traveling, you punch it in. What's even cool about this thing is when you call 411 for information,
right?
If since it's in the phone, you have an option of once you get, you know, what, let's say I'm calling for something for information, it asks you if you want the directions sent to your VS Navigator, and then you press one, you hang up, and then your phone turns back on, and it's the Navigator. It's got all the directions, everything already plugged in. Wow. You don't have to take your hands off the wheel.
That's awesome. Now, does that burn the battery pretty good?
The battery on this phone lasts for freaking ever. I charge it every 3 days. It's
what?
Like unbelievable.
Really? And you talk on the phone a lot, man.
A lot. And plus I'm always on the internet. I'm watching TV while I'm doing cardio. It's got, you know, the VCast TV shows.
Yeah.
battery lasts forever in this thing.
Oh, that's pretty good. Well, we were at the Long Island, like I said. It was a great show. My friend Paul Neville was the promoter of the show. It's actually outgrown the venue. You know, there's just too many people there. They sold out everything. But what I wanted to mention was that JoJo Energy Drink had their first setup at the show. They had a big booth with a little tent outside the show, and they had a joint RX Muscle JoJo Energy Drink banners. You got to see these things, John, the way they made them up. They look phenomenal.
I saw them on the paparazzi shots.
Yeah, and if you watch the video, I put the video on the front page of the JoJo Energy Drink booth. You can see them on there as well. This drink is going to be hot and heavy. I got an insider scoop that 50 Cent is looking to invest in this drink. That's how
no
hot
way.
It is. Yeah, he supposedly goes through cases of this stuff. He loves it.
Well, since he made $500 million on vitamin water, it's probably he's probably got a good taste in his mouth for energy drinks. There's nothing cooler than this thing. When you twist that cap and that thing plops in there and the color changes, that's genius right there.
Well, you know, if anyone wants to see how it works, I actually videotaped this really hot JoJo girl showing us when you twist the cap, it works. So it's on that video that I have posted, the JoJo Energy Drink video. I have an interview with the president, Scott Ferrari, and who I keep calling Frank Ferrari because I got a friend by that name, but he's not taking it personally, Dalton.
You know what Ferrari means in Italian?
Wealthy car.
It's just it means give me all your money in Italian. Oh. No, it basically means blacksmith.
Oh.
So it's Smith, basically. You know, the greatest car ever known to the world was named after Eddie Smith.
Is that really the case?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you see, you learn something every day. Anyway, JoJo's going big time, so you know, I'm really excited that they're in bed with us and that they're supporting the show. So starting the day of this show when it airs Monday, we will have our first sponsor with JoJo. They started us. Yeah, so. You know, I got to also say something about the owner of the company, Pete Scalise. I worked for him many, many years ago. He was one of the owners of a huge nutrition back in '96, and the guy was always just a brilliant idea guy. You know, he's the kind of guy that comes up with these billion-dollar ideas. You know, but you know, just because you have an idea doesn't mean you're going to make money off of it. But he's also one of these guys that's not afraid to gamble on these ideas. You know, he's like an all-or-none guy. He's either going to make $1 billion or he's going to make nothing. You know.
Right.
And they're going all out with JoJo. They're going to be all over the tri-state area here. And I think once they solidify this region of the country, they're going to move, you know, I guess south and west.
There is no way that stuff isn't going to be the number one energy drink in the entire world. That is, not only is the delivery so cool, but there's good stuff in it.
Yeah. Well, that's what they like to call it, good energy as opposed to bad energy.
Right.
You really feel even with it. Derek must have drank about three of them. You know, I drank one. I felt fine. I was, you know, I was flying all day long. Derek drank like three of them, you know, and he was looking for more. You know, I don't know how he did it, but they are smooth. They are smooth.
Jeff.
Sir.
Jeff, do a Derek on three JoJos.
Oh, so many fucking JoJos. My fucking Corvette fucking multiplied itself. I took the fucking shit, put it in my fucking gas tank. Fucking Juliana felt the fucking JoJo. I twisted Juliana. She fucking turned color. It was fucking nuts. You know, it was good.
I actually did an interview with Derek at the show.
I saw it. He's done with his tattoos.
I was going to say, he's done with the tattoos. The chicks don't like it. I said, you figured that out after 26 tattoos?
After 26 tattoos. Juliana Malacarney is complaining about his tattoos.
Maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't put a tattoo on her body anywhere because it's so beautiful to look at. You don't want to ruin it. It's like a
ridiculous
canvas.
I know,
it's
right?
It's like a fresh canvas, yeah.
It is.
Well, you know, Jeff was out in prime form last night. I have to admit, you know, he was the cameraman for all those videos because Sean wasn't there. So I want to thank him for doing a great job.
And I'm the only one that can hold Sean's camera. Remember that.
That's right. And also,
you're the only one that can hold the camera to Sean. That's very
right.
Good.
I want to thank one more person. I want to thank Nick Palladino, who tagged all the pictures and got them all up on the site. You know, the kid's doing a great job. He's a star now, John. He was on. He was on the Carla Noor show, Off Topic. You know, the kid's 17 years old. You know, what do you think the kids in school are thinking of this guy? They must think, like, wow, this guy's a stud.
He's only 17?
He's 17.
Wow.
So, he's doing a great job. We got to take our hat off to this guy.
Yes, we do. Biggie Small started at 17, so...
I'm sure Biggie Small somehow found Nick Paladino. I don't know how, but he probably will take credit for it.
That's Bobby Smalls. I'm talking about the real Biggie Smalls.
Oh, the real, not the white Biggie Smalls.
No, the black Biggie, the dead Biggie Smalls.
You know, the white Biggie Smalls was giving out more Iron Asylum, in the Iron Asylum training shirts that I still don't have one of. He was passing them out.
I don't have one either.
He was passing out Scullies. He had Scullies, too, for RX Muscle Scullies he was giving out.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thick wool ones or the thin ones that I've been begging him to make?
No, the thick wool ones. You know, he probably has got a sale on those things. He probably got them for like nothing. So the ones you want are expensive, I think.
The ones I want, he's just not looking for, because I'm telling you, there's no way. It's two pieces of freaking material. When I get there, I'm going to hire some Guatemalan babe to come over and freaking, I'm going to cut them all up and have her sew them together, and I'm going to be selling those things left and right, because if what he says is true, there's a $1 billion market for those things, because they don't exist except for Under Armour.
I bet you,
which I refuse to believe.
I bet you Diego could probably make one of those for us.
My girlfriend made me my underwear with two pieces of garment and stitched together with RX on both sides. It's true.
Diego, where were you yesterday? I didn't even see you at the show.
I was preparing the food for next Thursday. I was killing the cows. I freed them.
I don't like the new Diego. He's too quiet. I like the old Diego, don't you?
I need more energy. It's too hot. When it gets hot, I lose my energy.
All right, let's just thank some of our other sponsors, John, that we got on the show here. Obviously, Scott Conley and Progenics. You know, every single week that we have this guy on, I get at least 25 emails telling me that they love that segment. People don't even understand some of the stuff he says, but they like that he's so scientific and he's so knowledgeable about the information he's presenting to us.
Yeah, I get probably the same number of people telling me the same thing. You know what I think it is? I think his demeanor is so disarming that he's just an authority, and there's no question about it. There's no question when he speaks that he knows what he's talking about, and he just does. The guy's a genius. He's brilliant as hell, and he knows what he's talking about. So how could anybody not like him?
And you know what? I'll tell you one thing about him that impresses me, at least. The guy knows the research, but he knows how to interpret the research.
Right.
And that's more important than knowing the research, because the other guy we used to work for, who remained nameless, you know, used to spout out every new research article that came out, but half of them contradicted each other. Scott knows what's bullshit and what's not, and that's what I respect about him.
And I think more to that point, Dave, is that he is able to extrapolate the practical application of what the study's conclusion is. It's one, you know, that the guy we used to work for, all he did was quote the study. He didn't understand the practical application as the war that got us canned proved.
Right.
But if you understand the practical application of it, the knowledge then becomes powerful.
Sure.
Just repeating what the study says is pointless.
Right, because most of the studies, like I said, contradict each other, but you might be able to extract something from one study and something from another study and apply it practically and see the actual results of it without having to have some scientist tell you that that's what the case is.
Right.
But speaking of someone else who's very good at extrapolating practical data, and I have to say Arthur L. Ray fits into that category as well. He's another guy who can read research and take something that's actually make sense and apply it and practically have it work, and I think that's why his product line ALR is so effective when people take it. He actually has, people have been asking me, I stopped making testosterone, and people have been asking what to take, and I've been sending him over to ALR and tell him to take Restore. He had Restore out way before I had testosterone out. I just think people don't understand that the term Restore refers to an aromatase inhibitor product,
right?
I don't know if the name is so good.
He's got that box with the 5, 6, 8 products in it, the whole stack, the 10-week stack.
Evo stack.
What's it? Yeah.
The Evo stack.
That whole little complement of items in there is I've taken pretty much everything out there. I would say that is the most powerful all-around mass gaining, package you could possibly spend your money on.
No, but a lot of people are looking for aromatase inhibitors, and they keep banning all these different ones out there. Restore is a good aromatase inhibitor. He just I don't know if he really markets it well enough because the name is kind of deceptive sounding. You don't really understand what he's what he's trying to accomplish. I know he has other things, you know, receptor restoration in there as well, but Restore really is a good aromatase inhibitor if people are looking for something.
Now, why does the government have a hard-on for aromatase inhibitors? What is the problem with that?
I think they have a hard-on for Patrick Arnold, and when they started looking into the fact that he's producing a very successful aromatase inhibitor, now they're after aromatase inhibitors. But Rick Collins thinks that they're not going to be around that much longer, but you never know. Gasparri, they've been saying that for years, and Gasparri's had Novadex XT for what, 5-6 years now?
Right.
And no one's bothered it. I think it was the name. And unfortunately, I decided to license the 6-oxo from Patrick, so I wind up in the same knapsack as he did, unfortunately.
Well, you weren't alone, so.
Actually, you know who came by my house before? Unannounced?
Who?
Yes.
Mr. G.
No, he always comes by unannounced. That's nothing new. Billy Guns.
I wouldn't. No way.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in months. He showed up. He's getting ready, I think, July 3rd to move back to, or to move back to move out to North Carolina.
Where is he? I thought he was already there.
No, he's been making trips back and forth. I told you, that's where he got pulled over the 2 weeks ago.
Well, he got pulled over going to the show from North Carolina.
I was wrong. I actually got the full story from him. It took an hour for him to tell the story to me. He was driving from New York to South Carolina. He was going to stop there and then head to North Carolina, which wasn't not that as far as I thought it was. But when he was 10 miles out from South Carolina, from his girlfriend's house there, and that's when he got pulled over. And, you know, they were pulling the whole, oh, you're a New Yorker bullshit on him, you know.
Oh, God.
And, he stood his ground. And you know what? He remembered a conversation that he had with Rick on an airplane about the fact that, number one, you know, that there's no, that you should never let anyone search your trunk. There's no reason for that.
Right.
And you know, what saved him really was that he was able to get his lawyer on the phone and that the sergeant actually got on the phone with his lawyer. But once they did that, there was a witness now to what was going on, his lawyer. So if they would have, like, said, like, oh, he made a move at them or something like that, or there was something suspicious, we had to open his trunk, the lawyer knew that they were already harassing him, so he had a witness, and I think that's what really saved him.
Right.
Because they wanted to open it anyway. They're like, we're going to make you open it. And his lawyer, he called his lawyer back, got him on the phone, and the lawyer, like, threatened to sue these guys, you know. And I guess they got nervous that they were going to lose their job, and they let him go. But they threw his phone back at him, and they said, we're going to be watching you, because, you know, he's moving there. So I said, Billy, if you spit in the wrong direction, if you fart the wrong way, they're going to throw you in jail. I said, you better be careful. You know, these guys, it's like a movie almost. It's like the Southern guys have this hard-on for Billy Guns, you know, now. Imagine that. Every time he drives around town, they're going to be looking to pull this kid over and arrest him.
You know, this sort of shines a light on a very disturbing sort of fork in the road when it comes to law enforcement. I know a lot of beat cops, a lot of, you know, regular uniform cops, and I love these guys. They're all heroes in my book. For some reason, there's also a faction of uniformed officers that just take this law enforcement a little too seriously. And there was a clip on the news a few days ago of they were in a car chase, and the car they were chasing went off the road and it flipped over like 400 times, and the guy flew out the passenger window, and it was a violent, you know, tumble. The guy's going flying out of the passenger window, and he was laying in a heap on the ground, either dead or unconscious. It later turned out to be unconscious, but the guy was not moving. He was out cold. 15 cops jump on him and start beating on him, all on camera. They're punching him, punching and kicking an unconscious guy because he led them on a car chase.
Well, it wasn't enough that he almost killed himself falling out of the car, right?
I've never seen a lot of car accidents. This was up there in terms of violent, you know, thrust. To get thrown, to be driving and get thrown out the passenger window as the car's tumbling over, you know, being banged around in there quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's out cold, and these guys jump on him and start beating him.
And with cameras, everyone's got a camera on you. Camera on you these days. You're crazy. Right. You're crazy to beat anyone up. It's guaranteed to be on film somewhere.
Well, they all got fired, apparently. So.
Well, that was good. Well, John, we got to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to start the news.
All right, see you in 2.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on rxmuscle.com.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by three decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swag.
This is Good Energy. Only 4 calories and no sugar. Essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. 100% fresh and awesome flavor.
I got that JoJo swag.
Now you've got a new workout partner. JoJo Energy.
I got that JoJo swag.
The drink with good energy is coming soon.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno of Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Colombo. And keep listening to the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Colombo here with my cohort and co-host in crime, John Romano, and we're just about ready to start the news, John.
It's time for the news on Heavy Muscle Radio.
As I mentioned a little earlier, I was out at the NPC Long Island Bodybuilding Championships this past weekend, promoted by my good friend Paul Neville, and Phil Heath was guest posing there, looking as large as normal. You know, I got to tell you something about Phil Heath. In the off season, the guy looks huge. Don't get me wrong, but he doesn't really look like, you know, the guy you see on stage. He's not like overwhelmingly impressive, aside from just the flow as the muscle bellies. When this guy gets in shape, he's like a cartoon character, you know? It's amazing the transformation that some of these guys make, you know, from off-season to pre-contest.
He makes an amazing transformation off-season to contest. It's really incredible.
Yeah. Well, speaking about transformations, not to segue too much, but did you see Kevin Lavrone? Remember I told you Kevin Lavrone had talked to me about he wanted to make a comeback, and he was asking me all these questions and time frames and everything. Well, it appears as though he's doing it, and he's been chronicling, that's the word, right? I'm having problems with words today, maybe because I've been doing too many voiceovers, but he's chronicling the whole transformation on video. Every day he goes to the gym, He's, you know, talking into the camera. He's showing us after one, you know, chest workout, he's already benching 315, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he text messaged me last night and he said, you know, I just want to let you know, you were the first one to know about this. And I said, well, why don't you let me be the first one to get you on the radio then, too? And he, according to him, he promises us that he's going to get on our radio show first. We'll see.
Cool.
And, you know, but this is a guy who can transform his body better than anyone. Even though he hasn't trained in 4 years, and he's probably, what, about 43 now?
Yeah.
I'll bet you the guy puts on at least 30, 40 pounds in the next 8 to 10 weeks.
I would say, yeah, 3 months, he's going to be back in swinging shape. Watch. Yeah,
it's unbelievable. You could already tell. You could tell even just training in the gym that it's already coming back, you know, and it's been like a week, you know.
Mm-hmm. He's a hyper-responder.
Yeah, he's unbelievable in that sense. Yep. All right, well, the men's masters and men's overall open at the Long Island was won by Maurice Guida. The figure overall was won by Angelica Nebbia, and the women's bodybuilding by Tasha Coleman. It was a very enjoyable show. I like the Long Island because it's very an intimate setting. It's like I know everyone there. They're all guys that train in the gym where we live. And, you know, it's just like a party atmosphere. We had the JoJo people there. Derek was there with German American. I had the Species booth there. So we had a pretty much all-around good time. Probably the funniest thing that happened all night, though, John, was Mr. G was there with his brother. And his new thing is he must be single. I don't think he's dating anyone because he's right, Jeff? Everywhere we go, this guy's trying to pick up chicks.
And he will push you out of the way to get to them, too.
Yeah, he's just a cock blocker. He's a big cock blocker, yeah.
No, but I will give him credit. He will go up to every hot girl there and be like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, like I'm trying to get... It's like he has the game. He has game.
Yeah, he has got game.
Has he changed his jeans yet?
No. He's still got the same ones on. I don't think he washed them either.
No, he hasn't washed them, but he's still wearing the same pair of jeans.
Yes. Now, his new line is he's got this charity thing that he's running. Remember I told you this Chiari's Angels?
Yep.
Event that he's running at the Governor's Comedy Shop where he's going to perform, supposedly.
Uh-huh.
Well, his new line is he goes up and he tries to get girls to come to the charity event, you know, because he thinks that when you tell a girl about charity that they think you're a nice guy. So that's his pickup line. Now, he's really doing the charity event, so he's not like, it's not a fake thing or anything like that. But so he was talking to these two really hot girls at the show who were in the show, and he's trying to get them to come to the charity event. When all of a sudden, he's I don't know if he was chewing on a protein bar, a piece of the bar goes flying through the air. John, it must have traveled about 10 feet, 8 to 10 feet, landed on the girl's lip, okay? Now, the girl doesn't know what's going on. She didn't know it landed on her lip. Either that or she was being polite. It was so obvious and it was so, like, embarrassing that he actually wiped it off her lip. This is the girl he's trying to pick up. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. And of course he started cracking up hysterically. You know,
Did he say, because I got no back teeth?
No, he didn't say anything. He's like, oh, you got something on your lip. He didn't say he did it. He was like helping her out. You know, you got something on your lip. It was like
it came flying out of his mouth and she didn't see it?
I don't think she saw it. It was like, but it had, it was like a raisin, the size of a raisin.
Oh, my God. I know. You need an umbrella when you talk to Mr. G, you know?
Exactly.
It's a raincoat or something. I mean,
so
now what level show is this, Dave? Well, what do the winners of this show get to go do next?
They get to go to the gym with their trophy and brag about it.
So it's not a sanctioned show?
No, it's an NPC show. Actually, Steve Weinberg is, I think, partners in the show with my friend Paul. But I would consider it a novice show. It's not a national qualifier.
Oh, it's not.
No. But it's a good stepping stone for people who have never competed before. And people were using the show as a warm-up. I had a couple guys in there. They did pretty well. So now, all in all, it was good.
Well, how would this figure into, like, a contest? You know, if you want to turn pro, this is, like, the first show you ever compete in, right?
This would be, like, if you wanted to do, a show, let's say you say you want to get in shape and do a show, I would tell you to do this show.
Because okay.
You'd know everyone there. It would be fun. But the competition is not going to be at the level where, you know, guys are getting ready for the Nationals or anything like that, you know.
Right. Now, what would you have to go to?
Nothing.
To go to the Nationals?
You have to do like the Atlantic States or the Eastern USA. You got to do a national qualifier.
A national qualifier. So could you do, if winning this, could you do a national qualifier?
No. Oh, yeah, you could. Anyone could do a national qualifier. You don't need to.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, it's different. It's different. I know Florida is all wacky like that. They make you do level one shows, level two shows. Every other state in the United States, you can go right into a national qualifier, and if you place top two in your class, you go to the nationals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I think there's so many shows, and it's such a big state, and that's probably why they do it.
Yeah, probably.
It's not a bad idea, though. I kind of like the idea of having to qualify.
Yeah, it makes you compete more. Yeah, I like it.
News story, big news story. Actually, this was last week. I forgot to mention when we did the show. There's this new study that came out that men with big muscles. Or people who are muscular. Now, we're not talking about cardiovascular trainers. We're talking about weight trainers. People who add additional lean muscle to their body have a 40% less chance of getting cancer. New study.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
That's incredible.
Yep. Much. And you know what? In the study, they were trying to hedge the bets at the end. Not the study people, but the people writing the article. They were trying to say, well, you know, aerobic exercise is still better for your heart. But the bottom line is that they showed that weight training alone will cut your cancer risk by 40%. So, take that.
It's
going to
be good news for my son. He was talking to me last night. We're worrying about cancer for some reason.
Oh, really? Why is that?
I don't know. He just gets these ideas in his head.
You don't even know anyone who has cancer, do you?
No, I don't. Well, yeah, I do know people. Oh. I mean, a friend of mine's sister just died of cancer, but. Oh. My family has had my father's side had a couple cases of cancer, yeah. But I know we were watching Notorious, the Biggie Smalls story.
How was that?
And I thought it was great because it gave I always liked Biggie, but it really gave an accurate historical account of the whole feud between him and Tupac and Suge Knight and how that whole thing started, right, with East Coast, West Coast, and cleared up a lot of questions. Mm. For me as a Biggie Smalls fan.
It's funny that Suge Knight's the only one still alive, so.
Yeah, well, Puffy, too. Puff Daddy's still alive.
Oh, yeah, but was he really that involved in it?
Well, Puffy was the original manager.
Right, but I'm saying, was he really into the whole gangster aspect of it like they were?
Nah, Puff was, he was a businessman. But
yeah, he doesn't look like a street guy to me, yeah.
Nah, he was involved. But I mean, Biggie was a flat-out crack dealer on the street.
Right.
You know? So and a lot of them were. I mean, you know, 50 Cent was a drug dealer. I mean, a bunch of these guys got their start, you know, on the street.
Right.
But
just like us. Just like us.
Yeah, just like us. I don't know what Tupac's deal was. I don't know if he was a drug dealer or not. I don't think he was.
Doesn't Tupac live in your basement, Jeff?
Yeah, he does actually. How did you know that?
I heard you were hiding him down there.
No, I am, and you know, we plan on keeping him there until his next album.
I heard your landlord exposed it when you came into your apartment unannounced.
Yeah, my landlord likes to come in and give me visits and make sure that everything's working properly. Yeah, so when I get back, everything is functional.
Did he throw away one of your Bustle magazines, Tim?
Yeah, yes. I actually was taking out the garbage, and I found a very soaked copy of a Muscle magazine in there, and I said, thank you. I was going to do that myself, but I see you got to it first.
Now, did you know that Biggie's he died before was killed, yeah, at 24 years old, before his second album came out. That album, Life After Death, sold 10 million copies.
Wow. Well, they knew it was the last one, I guess. Tupac still had about 6 more albums to come out with, even though he died. He wrote so many songs.
His mom keeps putting them out. It's incredible, that guy has.
The guy supposedly was a genius when it comes to songwriting. Yep. Supposedly he wrote hundreds and hundreds of songs. So.
Yeah, his mom, it took over and is, you know, pushing his career.
You think they're making money from that?
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Really? It's crazy.
Millions and millions and millions.
Well, a man in Aloha, Oregon, on May 28th, Memorial Day, spent the day in jail because he called 911 to complain that a McDonald's worker, John, was rude and did not give him an orange juice that he had ordered. Now, this is the second McDonald's 911 story that we've gone over in the last, like, 8 months.
What is this?
These guys, they get pissed off at the McDonald's workers and they call the police. I never heard of this.
So, but how did he end up in jail?
No, the guy called 911 to complain, okay, that some McDonald's worker was rude and wouldn't give him his order orange juice. You can't do that.
But how did he end up in jail?
Because when they got there, they said, you're wasting our time. You don't call 911 because a McDonald's worker won't give you orange juice. That's that abuse of the thing. What if someone else needed the police there? These guys are nuts.
Can you imagine that? Oh my God. Can you imagine being the cops getting a 911 call for orange juice?
I'm glad they arrested him because you know what? Then you get about 25 more people doing that.
Yeah, I mean, arrest them. They should publicize it very heavily, too.
Now, I got to mention one thing because I got to mention the definition of something because we mentioned the word mongoloid on the After Hours show the other day. And when we got off the, you know, everyone, Jimmy Pelletier was making a joke about, I don't know if he was making a joke. He confused the word mongoloid with Mongol, you know.
Right.
From Genghis Khan's day, Genghis Khan's time. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to look up the word and see what the actual, you know, for some reason, my grandmother and my mother and the Jewish side always used the term mongoloid idiot whenever we did something stupid. It was like an endearing term, but it's like, you know, and so that's what always stuck in my head. So I always used the term, not really meaning any disrespect or anything like that. So I said, let me look this up in the Urban Dictionary, because you got to look it up, everything up in the Urban Dictionary, because that really gives the true way society uses a phrase. And I got three definitions for the word mongoloid, okay? One is mongoloid with a small m, and that's derived from the term Mongol to describe someone who has Down syndrome, a retard. And then they give an example of how to use the term in the sentence. You utter mongoloid. Okay, that's the sentence. That I've heard that term. Then you have,
and we know people who fit that description.
Right. Then we have the term mongoloid with a capital M. Okay. Uh-huh. And the definition of that term is a really dense person. And the sentence they give is, look at that mongoloid Scott trying to tie his shoelaces and failing. Okay. Now that would be another term that we've probably used correctly, right?
Right.
But the third definition, which is also mongoloid with a capital M, I've never heard of before, this definition. That's a naked midget that runs around the woods in the middle of the night humping people's legs. And the sentence they give is, I will never walk through the woods again. Last time I did, I got attacked by a mongoloid. Now, that third definition might just be the definition of the person that we were, that Biggie Smalls was telling us about, right?
Except he's not a midget.
Except he's not a midget, but he does hump people's legs, though.
In the woods?
In the woods, too.
Oh, my God.
That's right from the Urban Dictionary. I didn't make that up or anything like that.
No, I believe you. Yeah.
Well, Joe, we got a great show today. We got Random Night on, the writer, the author of the book Illegally Thin. He's going to tell us what this miracle fat loss drug is that no one really has really come to grips with, that the government is trying to suppress. We also have Mike Tauscher on, who is a former Mr. California and teen Mr. America. He's also trained the stars and celebrities. He's also trained with Arnold and all the old-timers back in the day, and he's got some great stories to tell us, and he's got to also tell us about what happened with that Nintendo Wii lawsuit that he put forth a few months ago. I think it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, I'm very excited about these two guests. Mike Tauscher, somebody I ran into in Gold's Venice 8 million times during my life, so I'm sure all of his stories are going to be the ones I'm going to remember.
Well, when we get back from break, John, we go right to our first guest.
All right. See you then. 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
This is Good Energy. Only 4 calories and no sugar. Essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. 100% fresh and awesome flavor.
I got that JoJo swagger.
Now you've got a new workout partner. JoJo Energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
The drink with good energy is coming soon.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Our next guest is a former teenage Mr. America, Mr. California, and he's a well-known fitness celebrity in our industry. The guy I'm talking about is none other than our friend, Mike Torscher. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Now, what's up, Mike?
Hey, John.
Now, Mike, I got to just tell you the story. The first time, John, I met Mike was up in Portchester, in Westchester, New York, and I was in medical school at the time, and I'd maybe been bodybuilding like 1 or 2 years at the time. I was probably maybe a buck 80, buck 90, and I walked into Bally's, and Bally's was like the place all the bodybuilders trained at because there was really no big good gyms up there, and I see Mike. I didn't know who he was, obviously, at the time. The guy had his legs looked like they were, you know, I have big legs now, but his legs looked like they were 10 times the size of my legs because he's not that tall, and his arms were huge, and I was like, wow, that was the first, you were the first bodybuilder I ever saw up close.
Wow. Yeah, those were the days, man. I remember when you came in because you had such amazing genetics and you look great, and I just knew that you were going to go places, man, and I'm proud of you, man.
Thanks. And you know what, Mike always, at the time he was training with, I think it was one of your wives, and she was really hot. I don't know who the girl was, but every time he came into the gym, there was always a hot girl with him.
Yeah, well, that stimulated my testosterone levels, so kept it high, you know what I mean? Just naturally.
Right. Now, Mike, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you grew up, and how you got involved with bodybuilding.
Well, I grew up in Hawthorne, New York, which is in Westchester County, and you know, my father was from Calabria, my mother was from Sicily, so you know, when they brought us up, you know, eating lots of food, manja, you know, so the bigger I got, they thought the stronger I'd be. My father wanted me to take over his business, but unfortunately, I was like 4'9" and like 180 pounds, you know. And I was really, really uncomfortable and happy. And I just got tired of being made fun of at school. But I just didn't feel good, too, you know. So I just kept asking around people, like, you know, how do I lose weight and how can I build my body up? And one day I at school I had gotten a flyer. I had gone to Stepanak High School, and my friend said, hey, look at this flyer. It's got, like, this muscle guy sketch on it. And the YMCA was having a you know, bodybuilding program. So I brought it home, and I told my mom that, you know, I really wanted to work out and build up my body. So she next day she took me to the YMCA and signed me up, and I went down there, and there was this huge guy, you know, lifting weights, and down the Y in White Plains, it was just like a couple of light bulbs hanging down by a wire, and it stunk like shit. There was powerlifters, Olympic lifters, you know, and they wear the same clothes all the time for like weeks. So the smell was disgusting, but it was amazing to see these incredible physiques, you know. And I went to this guy; he was huge, and I said to him, "Hey, is that a good way to build, you know, big arms?" He was doing, you know, like barbell curls. He turns to me, "Get away, kid! I'm busy." So I turn and I sit down. I go, "Ah, shit! My mom's gonna be all pissed off. She wasted $45 for the membership. I'm just gonna sit down here because she's gonna do some shopping. When she goes up there, I'm gonna just tell her I had a good workout." Sure enough, this guy comes over. His name was Frank Marcello, and he used to be involved with a lot of the AAU bodybuilding shows, and he said, "You know, I help you, kid. That guy's a jerk. I'll tell you what, let me help you out," and he showed me some things to do. So sure enough, after the workout, he goes, "Now, next thing you got to do is you got to learn how to eat, because you're like a human garbage pill. I could tell from that stomach, because I was a real fat kid, man." he said, "You got to eat right." So he said to me, he goes, "I want you to do is get a plastic bucket, and for the next couple days, I want you to put a little bit of what you eat in there. And then next time you come down here, I want you to tell me what it looks like." So we made an appointment for me to come down a couple of days later at the same time. So sure enough, I'm putting, like, my breakfast, and I was eating, like, pancakes and bacon and eggs and juice. And then the next, you know, for lunch, I was putting part of my meatball wedge and my Twinkies in there, you know what I'm saying? And my Frito chips and my barbecue chips and my root beer soda I put in there. Then at the night, my father sees me with this bucket by the table, and he says, "What are you doing?" I said, I got this project. This guy at the Y wants me to put all the food I eat in there, and then he wants me to, like, evaluate, you know, my eating habits. He goes, "Get that off the floor, because if the dog eats, he's going to die." it looked like crap. So sure enough, I came back and I told him what it looked like, and I said, "Look, it looked like a garbage pill." And he goes, "You're right. You're a human garbage pill. Now this is what you got to do." So then I said to him, "Listen, I don't have any money. You know, I didn't come from a, you know, well-to-do family." So he goes, "I'll tell you what. If you promise to pass this on to other people and to inspire other people like I'm doing with you, there's no charge." He says, "Shake my hand and give me a word. You will continue on because you're going to be a champion bodybuilder someday. I know it. You have it. And I want you to help other kids and other people." So I shook his hand. And to this day, I've been doing it. And that's why I created OperationFitness.com. And I created Children's Fitness Academy. And I've been doing what I've been doing. I have a special place in my heart for helping out kids, especially obese children. And that's what I continue on to do today. Even though I train the stars and everybody knows I do that crap, you know, my main passion is to help out children, especially what's going on with obesity and ill health in our country. It's just a damn shame, you know.
Now, Mike, I'm just going to segue back to the that's a great story. I remember the Y. Now, didn't I think Greg Valentino trained at the Y back in those days?
Well, you know, I met him. Yeah, he did, but I met him at a gym up in Mayopac, and it was so funny, man. This kid had these amazing arms, and he loved to do like these bench dips all the time, and he's always eating Twinkies. And I said, and I was managing, it was Bob Bass, Nautilus Fitness Center in Yorktown, that was it. And he comes in, and I'm managing the place, and he looked like, you know, he's a solid physique, but he was always kind of soft. And before he'd come in, he'd be shoving down these Twinkies. So I said, what are you eating Twinkies for? He goes, I'm carbing up. This way I get a good pump. You know, and every single time he came in, he was eating Twinkies.
It went right to his arms.
Exactly, man.
That's what's in there.
Twinkies are in there.
But he was funny, man. He was always making me laugh. You know what? He's such a character.
Do you ever run into Charlie Arms at that Y? I remember he used to train there, too.
Charlie Arms used to break everybody's balls. You know, he had the long ponytail. He's doing curls with, like, 60-pound dumbbells, like the 10-pound dumbbells. And they always called everybody, hey, kid, get over here, kid. You know? And so everybody would intimidate the crap out of everybody. But he was really a motivating guy. You know, he'd be like, "Gotcha, come on, three more, four more, okay, five more, and you're heading to heaven. Five, six." You know, he'd have this, like, expression for every rep. So, you know, he kind of got you going, but he was a character, you know, and he kind of, like, you know, fit in right in that whole kind of world, because in that gym was every type of personality you can imagine. Everybody was nuts. You know? So, but yeah, we had some of the original maniacs that came from that place.
Well, now getting back to the first story, you know, you fulfilled part of that prophecy. You won the Teenage Mr. America in 76, and then you went on to win the Mr. California contest, among others. Which was one of your most memorable contests as it relates to that story?
Well, you know, when I won the Teenage Mr. America in 1976 in Florida, it was the most memorable because, you know, I just remembered reflecting back when I was a kid that, you know, my father was always giving me a hard time and being a tough Italian. You know, one time I was training in my basement, and he came down and he said, "You didn't unload the truck. You didn't do this and do that." I said, "Well, I'll do it after I'm done working out." And he goes, "No, you're going to do it now." And he got pissed off and went out to the garage and took a sledgehammer and busted up my pulleys and broke my plates. And he said, "Now go unload the truck." And I got mad, and I said, "Now I'm not going to load the truck." And he goes, "Why? You're going to be nothing but a gym bum. You're going to be, you know, how are you going to make money? You know, lifting weights." I said, "I'm going to teach people. I'm going to show you." So when I won it, my father, for the first time, said he was proud of me. So I think the Teenage Mr. America was a turning point in my life because I finally had acceptance from my dad. And people who stubbed me when I was younger and made fun of me, you know, I felt that self-worth that was radiating. Because when I was in that competition, Ronnie Mangum was in there. I mean, there were some of the toughest competitors in there. And Bob Gresham at the time was really helping me out quite a bit. And he's an amazing guy. He really was instrumental to helping me with my career. And I just felt really proud that day, man.
People don't realize the magnitude of importance that a parent's approval or a parent's praise plays on a teenager like that.
Well, you know, coming from a family, you know, where, especially an Italian family where they're like, hey, you know, you go out and you work and that's it. They don't care about the body, you know, the shape, the losing weight. They just want you to provide. My father wanted me to take over his landscaping business, which I had no desire at all. And I truly wanted to pursue what I wanted to do for a living. So I was a bit of a renegade and a rebel. But, I mean, yeah, no, listen, if I would have, I lived every day to hear my father say, "I'm proud of you," you know, and it took that many years to get that acceptance, and I think that's common with a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people I speak to tell me that they've had the same kind of problems with their dads, you know, who become champion bodybuilders, have shared many stories with me, whether they were fat or skinny or what, you know, fighting for that acceptance from their sure. parents.
Right.
You know?
Evan Santapani was a fat kid, and look at what he's doing now. He just won the New York Pro, you know, first time out.
That's great, man.
Now, you moved during your lifetime, you've moved back and forth from California to New York many times, that I've known of at least. Now, what were the, I guess, precipitating factors that made you move back and forth? Was it based around women, jobs?
Let me explain. Like, when I was 15 years old, I packed up my suitcase. I had cut, you know, lawns and trimmed hedges and saved the money to come to California to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I got to LAX. I had very little money, so I hitchhiked from the airport to the gym when it was over on, Pacific Avenue over there, the old days, and to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know. And it was so funny. It was like I came out there because I wanted to learn how to truly be a champion bodybuilder. I mean, I was determined. So when I was coming back and forth, after I met Arnold Schwarzenegger finally, I became friends with him. And, you know, he had told me, "Come out every summer and I'll help you." And what I was doing was every summer I was coming out there and staying with him or Roger Cowher or, you know, some of the other bodybuilders that were inviting me out, and I would train with them 2 weeks out of every summer And so I sort of made it like a ritual because, you know, years ago, bodybuilding news, you know, they looked down upon bodybuilders. They looked down upon lifting weights. They thought in sports it would slow you down, inhibit your athletic ability. So it was something we had like an uphill battle. So coming to California, I felt like, wow, this is the world where I'm accepted. This is a world where bodybuilding really radiates. And even plus out in California, the food was always more health conscious sure. in the restaurants, you know.
Right.
So I would come back and forth. Then later on, of course, it was a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of the craziness, because then, you know, all of a sudden I discovered I had a body and, you know, and I got myself into trouble, you know. But for the most part, I started coming out here, and then every time I come back to New York, I was like, ah, man, the women over here, they look soft and out of shape. L.A., the girls are toned and fit, you know. So it was sort of a little bit of everything, but I really like coming to California because when you train at Gold's Gym, you can really get inspired, you know. And training with Arnold and training with some of the amazing pros, and Bill Pearl was one of my mentors, and he was truly helping me out a great deal. So between going back and forth, it just made me come back to New York and want to kick ass, you know, and which I did.
You must have some good Arnold stories.
Oh, man, I got all kinds of crazy Arnold stories. I mean,
well, you
got
to give us, like, one.
Well, you know what was so funny was, you know, Arnold... one time, you know, and this was when I was 15 years old, it was Kent Keene, Ken Waller, and Denny Gable, and Arnold, and I, and we went to this place that had these great omelets in Santa Monica.
Omelet Parlor?
No. This was way before that place even opened up. And we went and had these omelets, and Arnold... Well, this is when he was really huge, and we went to this place, and Arnold goes, "Ah, look at that waitress! She's a beautiful blonde waitress." He goes, "All right, I want you to pretend that you can't speak English. Don't say a word, and I'm going to say you're my little brother. No, just say my little Kroger. Don't say a word. And you're just visiting." And I was kind of big, you know, fat and bulky, so you know, he was trying to charm this waitress. So she comes over, and he says, "How you doing?" You know, "Oh, it's my brother, little Kroger." You know, so that's, you know, I'm about to say hi, and he kicks me, you know, and I went like that, and then so I will order for him, and you give him the samosa and the hot apple cider, and you know, we're doing this thing back and forth, and so then he was like flexing his pecs, and he goes, "My heart, both hearts are beating for you," and he would flex his pecs, and then this girl's like drooling over him, and he says, and she goes, "Oh, he's so handsome, and he looks just like you." So now I'm glowing, I'm bright red, I lit up like a light bulb, thinking she said I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. So then finally they bring the eggs, right? And everybody's eating, chowing down, and she's just like glowing over Arnold now too, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, and then she walked away, and I go, "Oh, excuse me, can I have some ketchup?" With my New York accent. Then we all started cracking up, you know. But you know, I forgot, you know, and I always ate ketchup, and then he used to make fun of me. "Why are you eating ketchup? It's no good. It's crap. You put that shit over your eggs," you know. But yeah, but Arnold's always been really great, and to this day, he's very supportive of what I do, you know. But, you know, Joe Weed was actually the guy who flew me out when I was 17, when I wrote to him and his magazine that my dream would be to be in his magazine. And sure enough, he flew me out, did a photo shoot, and he was the one who flew me to California for my first photo shoot and to be in Muscle and Fitness. In fact, I saw Joe a couple days ago. I went up there with Bill Grant, and he was great. He's 87, and he's still kicking, man. He's doing great.
Wow, what were your favorite years at Gold's in Venice?
I would probably say it got really, you know, like in the late 70s is really a learning experience. In 80s, it, you know, it was just fun, you know, because you had Rachel McClishon there, and you just had Joe Nazario. I mean, you had all the colorful people, and the Mansour brothers just training like psychos. And it was just like being in a, you know, Frank Zane. So it was almost like being in a comic book that came alive, and you just, you know, all of a sudden you're in this whole world, and you have all these crazy, interesting personalities. You had Hulk Hogan sleeping in the back in his van, as Jean-Claude Van Damme was sleeping in his car in the back. It seemed like a comic.
Is that serious? That's serious?
No, they were sleeping. It was so funny one time. You know, I used to train legs with Hulk Hogan and Pete Kromkowski, and we used to train at midnight. We'd do this twice a week. And it was crazy because we would do like 100 sets for legs. You know, it was like the old Mahalik style of training, you know.
Right.
And we would go there, and I would see Pete and Hulkster, they'd be smoking pot before we'd go work out. And they'd go, what are you doing? And they go, oh, I gotta do this before, you know. So this is the common thing. So we would do legs and everything. But with the funniest time when Hulk was doing bench presses, one day we were doing chest, you know, and because then they started asking me to come back in because they loved me because I was really powerful. So, but Hulk sucked at bench pressing. He was weak as shit benching. I mean, he had this huge body, but when it came to bench pressing, he sucked. So he was like, we were just, you know, going back and forth, you know, to the water fountain, and Hulkster was, I guess he was so high that day, he had 2 1/4 on the bench, and it the bar came down and kind of slipped down to his throat. So I hear him go, Hey, kid. I go, huh? And I said like a little whisper, get the fuck over here. So, and I see him, he's like bright red. And I pull it up off him, I put it on the rack. He goes, you tell him that I'll fucking kill you.
You just told us.
Well, I just did. What's he going to do now?
Okay, so now, Hulk Hogan, you know, was the weakest. Who was the strongest?
You know who was, you know what, there was a few guys that were pretty certain. The Barbarian Brothers held their own on certain lifts, but they weren't. I would say Franco was pound for pound one of the strongest. Again, also I trained with Lyle Zeta for quite a while. Lyle was a bull.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just a strong, powerful man in every shape and form. But Franco, I'd say pound for pound, was probably the strongest.
I trained with Lyle, too, for, like, remember when he was making his comeback?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I trained with him through that whole period when they didn't take
you know
him
what?
And he got all...
He didn't have that brute strength, and by then, psychologically, he was sort of, like, kind of floundering, although
yeah.
he still had power, but that wasn't the peak of his days when he was really, like, at his peak at playing football. He was just a machine then, you know.
Yeah, he was outrageous.
But then, you know, when he was making that comeback, he could, you know, he's always jumping the sunbed. He had the extensions, you know. He looked ridiculous, you know. I don't know if you remember that. I was like, oh, man, I just wish
he was having a whole bunch of things going on at the same time. Midlife crisis, he's divorced, you know. He was a mess, but.
Yeah, he was distracted. The restaurants, the clubs failed. The marriages yeah. failed. Financially, he was really struggling. I felt bad for him. I really did. But
and then he got sick on top of it. So
he got sick, yeah. and it was a damn shame too. I mean,
terrible.
What a solid guy.
Who were some of the craziest characters you remember from Gold's back in the day?
Well, I'll tell you what. Just to keep on this one story, I remember when Lyle kicked the shit out of the Barbarian Brothers.
Yeah, I remember that.
He tossed them around like they were like rag dolls. And you know
yeah,
what's the funny one?
That was,
instead
I remember
of the
that
two
day.
Of them charging him, they one would go and then he'd get his ass kicked, and then the other one would go, then the other one would get up, and then he'd toss him, and he goes like, Mikey, I only wanted to hit him with the backhand because if I close fist him, they'd be in the emergency room. And he just threw them, and this is when these guys were at their peak. They were huge.
He must have been strong, yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, you know, it's, you know, like some people, you can see like the skinny guy carry a piano on his back.
Right.
But Lyle was big, and he had that kind of brute power. Hmm. But I'd say, you know, in the gym, I mean, thinking back, I mean, I remember when Sergio Oliva came in. That's one intimidating. I mean, amazing guy. I mean, we went out to breakfast one time, and he asked for 24 pieces of toast and 20 eggs and 2 pitchers of orange juice while throwing down 7 D-balls. Yeah. And he goes, you know, I don't like injections. He goes, I just take 7 D-balls 3 times a day.
That'll do it. That'll work.
Yeah, that'll do it, right? No, but he was funny. He had, like, these, like, huge fists and thick wrists. And his forearm started, like, freaky from, like, the very beginning of his wrist, you know?
Yeah.
And he was just a freak of nature. I mean, you know, especially him with the half calves for a black man, you know?
Yeah.
But, he, no, he, and I'll tell you, and Serge Nabre was very, very, I mean, what a gentleman. I mean, I'm talking about their whole different side. Complete gentleman, very courteous. But then again, he'd be doing curls with 15-pound dumbbells and do like 30 reps, you know. Totally different type style of training, you know. But you know, I could go on and on forever because, I mean, the people that I've met, the stories that I've seen and been part of, I guess, has been very interesting, you know.
Now, Mike, let's talk a little bit more recently because several months ago, you issued a press release, which kind of became famous in the news. You actually announced that you were going to sue Nintendo Wii and for endangering people's lives, I think you said it. Tell us a little bit about what that whole publicity stunt was about.
Well, no, actually, it wasn't a stunt, because this is what happened. I'm dealing with all these kids all the time. And then I got parents coming to me and saying they got wee elbow, wee knee. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? So, sure enough, I checked with this nurse I know, and she told me that at UCLA, they were getting like over a dozen people coming in, and they kind of named it Wii in front of it. So they were Wii this, Wii that. So I started doing a little more research on it. And then I started playing the game myself, and I started realizing that, you know, you got to be careful because the sensors, when you use a control, it was like, first problem was the control was flying out of people's hands. They weren't holding it correctly. But it was the fact that the sensors weren't triangling properly, because I had this techie guy check it all out, and they needed to enhance the triangulation of the reception of these receptors that were sending out to pick up the laser beam that's coming from the control. So people were overexerting themselves and swinging really hard, and then there was problems with people having problems with the rotator cuff and tearing tendons and ligaments, and they were slipping off the balance board. And then what happened was one guy actually broke his foot so badly, and it broke his ankle, actually, and he had to have two pins put in there. So then I started saying, this is bad. Then I was informed that some of the senior homes where I actually have some programs in were told that they were going to put the Wii Fitness in the senior homes, and they were actually going to put it in the luncheon area, which was like this vinyl flooring. And just figure, listen, these people are unhealthy, and you know, in these homes, they don't even watch the people properly. They don't get their medication, they don't get the care, and people have dropped dead and had heart attacks. So you really think you're going to supervise the people playing Wii? Now think about 70, 80 years old. They have bones that are fragile like China. They hit the floor, they're going to crack a hip easy, right? So I said, listen, someone's going to die. This is crazy. So I intimidate him by saying, listen, I've got all these people. They want me to file a lawsuit. I got a law firm in Beverly Hills that wants to do it. Are you going to make these changes? Here's my list. And they thought I was nuts, go away. And then they were like, in Japan, they said I was the wacky fitness guru.
Right,
I was
right.
In, all over the place. So I was laughing about it, but I was getting their attention. At the same time, I was launching my radio show, Shape Up America, which is to reveal the myths and the misconceptions of the fitness industry and to really go after the people that are trying to rip people off. And just general to inform people. So I figured, hey, perfect time. I'm launching a radio show. This is the first thing I'm going to go after is crap like this, because it's bad enough kids are playing video games or watching too much TV when they should be outside exercising and not try to replace it for regular, sensible sports and fitness activities. Because a lot of these kids were getting in the room and getting obsessed with it because it's so obsessive, these games. And they weren't putting time codes and restrictions so people would stop doing it or take a break for fluids. With not in an hour, should be almost every 20 minutes, and they should have a, you know, certain time codes for beginners and intermediate and advanced players. And I told them you could put all this stuff in there. So sure enough, I sent them all this documentation of people that actually got hurt. So I said, look, you need to make changes. So sure enough, the president himself sent me a letter back saying, what do we need to do? So I sent them all the things. Did you know they made all the changes? The new game that they're coming out with, Jillian Michaels has her trainer program with Wii, and in there they wrote a letter, Mr. Torsha, thank you very much. We've actually implemented the changes you requested. Thank you for your help and suggestions. And so, sure enough, nothing happened. So I told everybody, listen, all I wanted them to do was make these changes. So they made all the changes, making sure people properly warm up, take in fluids. You register what level you are, and then it has a time code with a little guy walking across the screen, time to take a break. And they took my advice.
It's a good idea.
This guy, but you know what's funny was, this guy, 23 years old, died, had a heart attack playing it in England.
He really died?
Oh, yeah, a guy died. Go look up Wii Kills. Just look, WII Kills. And it has the story on this guy, 23 years old. He was playing it, and he had a heart attack, massive heart attack, and died on the spot. So that rattled their cage. That made them turn around and say, Mr. Torsha, what do we need to do?
They should have hired you as a consultant, at least paid you something, you know?
Yeah, listen, you know what? I'm doing fine. It's just that I needed, because listen, I got all these kids that play the game. I just wanted them to make the adjustments. But sure enough, listen, they have reevaluated everything. They took the advice, and they made the changes. They actually sent me information on a new product. So
Wow. What
am I going to do? You know, so let's go after that girl on Home Shop Working Network now.
Oh, you got it. Let's talk about that. Forbes Riley is her name.
What's her name?
Forbes Riley. She sells fitness equipment on the Home Shopping Network, or some fitness thing on the Home Shopping Network. But she was on this show on Discovery called The Pitchmen. We were talking about, you know, before we started the show. It's the stupidest thing you've ever seen. It's a freaking string with a yo-yo in the middle, and the yo-yo is like turned to the side, so the string's coming out of the axis rather than from the crack in it, right? And you pull it back and forth like an accordion, and it spins, and it's supposed to create some kind of resistance, and they did this little bullshit, you know, workout video that goes along with it. And the documentary shows like how you go from, you know, inception to creation to actual sales in an infomercial with, you know, Billy Mays, the OxyClean guy, right? So they're filming the thing, and the price point in all of these things, as you know, if you ever watch an infomercial, is $19.95. But for some markets, you know, they just, while they're filming the whole thing and they got the whole thing set up, they want to do other price points. You know, they wanted her to do $14.95 and they wanted her to do $10. And she threw a freaking fit. She wouldn't do it. She wouldn't go below $19.95. It's like her heart and soul. She just wouldn't want to do it, blah, blah, blah. They finally convinced her to do it. They run the infomercial live in like however many markets they do it. At $19.95, they come back and there were zero.
No one bought it?
No one bought it.
Yeah.
They go, see, we should have done it at $10. You fucked up. And she goes, I just can't go below $19.95. This is change your life, this thing.
You know,
yeah, really.
Mike, you would be the perfect person on Home Shopping. Man, you would sell everything on there.
Everything.
I have a new website. It's called Fitness Undercover, and it has a picture of me, and they superimpose my picture onto Sherlock Holmes' picture.
Oh, really?
With the magnifying glass where I'm going after, like the Mythbuster, going after people to have, like, products. So maybe I should go after black men now, huh?
Yeah.
Well, he's got no product. What are you going to go with? go after his claim about how he supports women's bodybuilding. That's
oh,
a good
God,
one.
Right?
No, but let me do talk about something else you're doing. You have this health and fitness event that you're holding at Westwood Park in Los Angeles. So that's coming up this summer. Tell us a little bit about this and who's going to be there.
It's on August 1st. It's going to be at the Westwood Park, which is behind the Federal Building on Sepulveda and Wilshire. And what I had done was I first wanted to rent out the whole park and just do a really fun health and fitness day. And then I was thinking about it and saying, hey, there's Earth Day and there's all these other, you know, holidays. Why shouldn't there be a health and fitness day? So I wrote a proclamation because I reviewed the material that you have to submit to create a holiday, and I sent it to the city council, and they called me back a few days after I had sent it in and said, congratulations, Mr. Torsha. We've accepted your proclamation. The city council has signed it unanimously, and we're going to make it an annual holiday this August 1st in Los Angeles, and we're going to have someone from the city council to give you the signed proclamation. So I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Well, then if I'm going to do this, I need to send it to Arnold. So I sent it to Arnold, and Arnold's going to send it back as a whole holiday for California. Then I decided to send it over to Obama's people, and I got word back that they're going to pass it too. So it's going to be Health and Fitness Day nationwide, probably starting for next year because it's too soon for the August 1st here. But here in Los Angeles, it'll be an annual holiday. But the key thing is it's to inspire people, to encourage people to do everything they can that day and hopefully that week, where I'm getting health club chains where they're going to be offering for that week, starting from August 1st, to offer free training sessions and one-week training and different stores to provide health products free to people. So I got Equinox and I've got Gold. I've got all these other organizations, too, Whole Foods, Smart Water. They're setting up. I've got about 40 different, you know, companies that are providing boots there and products for people that day. But I decided, because Joe was the one who actually got me into, you know, the magazine. And
Joe Weider.
And I decided that every year I want to honor someone, a health advocate of the year. So I decided for this year, especially with Joe, I mean, he was really instrumental in helping many other people's lives. So I'm giving Joe the Health Advocate of the Year Award at the event. And I was up at his office, like I mentioned earlier, with Bill Grant. He was so excited about receiving it. In fact, he just added me onto his Facebook page.
Wow.
Good guy. But, you know, it's funny. He does that, you know, Twitter and all that.
Does he really?
Yeah, he does. So, you know, he's going to be one receiving the award. And I know he's going to go on vacation. He was supposed to go on vacation before that. But he said, I'll tell you what, I'll wait so I can get the award, because I really want to be there. So I've invited Arnold. We still have to find out if he's coming. The mayor is supposed to be coming here in California. But I've invited Frank Zane. I've invited Lou Ferrigno. I've invited Dave Draper, because I want to have some of the old-time guys here.
Yeah, that's great.
And I have Pet Fitness there, too. There's going to be an obstacle course for dogs. Besides having sumo wrestling, I have Leila Ali coming with her boxing team, and there's going to be a whole boxing ring set up. There's going to be extreme athlete competition. I have several people that are going to try to beat the world record for the most push-ups in a minute. And
what is the world record for most push-ups in a minute?
I think it's something like 123 or 26.
Wow. Holy jeez.
Yeah. So I have a few of these extreme athletes that want to do it, and what we're doing is we're going to hopefully break the record. I mean, these guys are freaks.
That's like two push-ups a second, John.
I know.
It's amazing. Yeah, so we're going to have some strength competitions there. In fact, there's a woman who apparently bench pressed something like 605.
What?
I invited her, so I'm going to see if she can come to the
What's
show.
What's her name?
I was just given the information, but I'll get back to you on it. But apparently, she's like a Bulgarian girl, you know, big and strong, you know. But I want to have every aspect of health and fitness there. I know bodybuilding.com is coming, Europa Sports coming, you know, so we've got them all there. Hopefully, you guys, if you're going to be out,
yeah.
I know John Defender said he's coming.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'll send a photographer, even if I can't make it myself, just to cover it for the site, definitely.
Yeah, we should cover it. Mike, that sounds like a tremendous undertaking. I mean, do you have a crew? I mean, how do you handle all of that?
I do. I actually have a great publicist, and she does all my PR and marketing, and I've got a lot. I got a network of people that really want to make a difference. That really want to help out. Bill Grant has been instrumental. I'll tell you, Jerry Branham has been instrumental. I mean, I can go on and on and on. Louis's been, you know, Ferrigno's been inspirational and helping me out. I mean, everybody's just gathered up and said, Mike, I love what you're doing. How can I help? And they're out there reaching out to people and sending me information on, hey, maybe this would be great for the event, or I can get you more volunteers. And it's amazing. I've got all these people that have united to help out, to do whatever they can. And at Gold's Gym, when they heard what I was doing, they said, we're there. Equinox, we're there, you know.
Awesome.
So that's what had happened. I'm telling you, it's just like a bunch of people that said, I want to help. It's a good cause. It's going to be good for the community. And I said also, too, the fact you're out there, all these small businesses, network with each other. Help
right.
each other out. Maybe you guys could start doing business together. So from doing something good, there'll be other benefits that from it. Because you know how the universe rewards the active. Get out there. Tell people what you do. I've invited trainers that are telling me they need clients. Come that day. Give free instruction. Talk to people. Do calisthenics. I rented the whole park.
Wow. Now,
yeah, it's gonna be great.
What's the website? How can people get in touch to get more information about it?
OperationFitness.com.
And is that your website as well?
That's my website. It has all the information on the event, all the things that I'm doing, and if they want to get involved, they want to come attend, we can send them all the information that they want. I personally respond to all emails.
Are you, Mike, are you actually still actively training people if people want to, you know, have you train them?
Yeah, I'm still doing it, only limited because of the fact that I need to be able to free up time to do all these other things that I'm doing. But I do have my regulars that I have stayed with for many years, and I do take on a certain amount of clients. And then I have about 100 trainers that work for me.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know, it's between weight training, Pilates, yoga, martial arts, boxing, because I have, like, for instance, I have, like, a contract with the Beverly Hills Hotel where they call me the concierge of fitness. I've had that for 17 years where a guest comes in if they want to go horseback riding, if they want someone to play ball with their son, mm-hmm. or if they want their daughter to do Pilates, or they want aquatic instruction. I have instructors that do that, do swimming instruction. I have tennis pros, I have golf pros. So it's way beyond just weight training now.
Right,
you know,
it's, right.
I had to expand on it because of the needs of the people, you know.
Well, Mike, I got to thank you so much. You were really enlightening today. You gave us some great stories. And if you need anything from us, I want to help you support you with this event, and we're definitely going to cover it for RX Muscle.
I appreciate it. You know, and if you want, I will have a complimentary booth for you guys. We can put out information on your product line because I think it's fantastic. I've heard nothing but great things about your products.
Thank you.
And I'm proud of you guys, John and Dave. I mean, thank you so much for having me on. And I'll do everything I can to promote, you know, your show and your product line, man.
Sounds great, Mike. Thanks for stopping by.
You're welcome. Take care.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRindustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
This is Good Energy. Only 4 calories and no sugar. Essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. 100% fresh and awesome flavor.
I got that JoJo swagger.
Now you've got a new workout partner. JoJo Energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
The drink with good energy is coming soon.
RXMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RXMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RXMuscle.com. Wow.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is Chuck Zito, and you're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with Dave Palumbo and John Romano.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsSRG.com.
Our next guest is the author of the book Illegally Thin, that centers around a little-known drug that the author claims is the greatest fat loss drug known to man. To find out more about this substance and why the government has banned it, I'd like to welcome the man known only as Random Knight. Welcome to
the show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, well, let me start off by, I guess there's two questions I got for you. Number one, you know, why the name Random Knight? Obviously, that's not your real name. It's a pseudonym you're using.
That's right. Well, the reason for the name is what I reveal about this drug is a huge financial threat to the largest industry in the country, for one. And so for that reason, you know, I don't think I can stay absolutely anonymous if people, you know, are really, really rich people are really angry at me. But just for the most part, so many people can be threatened by this, and I have a family. So I thought it would just be, you know, I just called it that direction.
And where'd you get the name Random Knight from, though?
Random Knight, well, the first name, Random, is my youngest son's first name.
Oh,
so, and
okay.
I've always liked his name, so I get to be called Random.
Gotcha. All right, now, why don't you give us a little bit of background before we get into the gist of the book about, you know, what's your background in terms of diet, weight loss products, and knowledge in that field?
Sure. Well, interestingly enough, where I really learned a lot about the whole subject of bodybuilding and everything to go along with that is from the forums on the websites, on the web, of the bodybuilders, things like steroid.com, those kind of, your website, places like that, anywhere where you can go on those forums and read the people that are actually doing this stuff, you can learn a lot. And when you read a lot of posts, what you do is you get to the point to where you can see the difference between the people who know what they're talking about, and when you consistently see people who know what they're talking about saying the same thing, you begin to realize that, you know, that's the truth. And it's not just this one weight loss substance that I know a lot about. Almost anything to do with bodybuilding, I really have read extensively. And then I always, if I'm really interested in something, I go and read the clinical reports on it. I'll read the British Journal of Endocrinology, that kind of thing.
Interesting.
So why don't you just go ahead and, you know, we all know what it is, but why don't you just go ahead and tell our listeners what this amazing substance is that you wrote about in your book, Illegally Thin, and how you first discovered it.
You bet. Well, how I first discovered it was reading the boards, the steroid boards, and or the bodybuilder boards. And when I first read about it, there's a lot of negative hype about it, even on those boards. And so my initial impression of this drug, and by the way, the name of the drug is DNP, that's the acronym, it's dinitrophenol. And it's a very popular drug in bodybuilding, and it, you know, to use to burn fat off. And what I found is that first, you know, just from reading it, I thought that it was a dangerous drug that, you know, extreme risk takers used. And that's kind of the reputation it has largely. But what I found when I kept reading especially the actual psycho logs of guys who used it, they never complained of being hurt by it. Because a lot of the time they overdose it, they complained that it was harsh because it works exactly like exercise. So you sweat, you feel lethargic, you overheat, that sort of thing. And so they complained about exaggerated symptoms of those type and those only. I never read of anyone being hurt. And then everyone, including the guys who use it and the guys who never have and just kind of pass on rumors, because there's a lot of that sort of thing with almost any substance on those forums. One thing they all warn about is that you can overdose with it, but that's true of any medicine. And when I researched it, I found out that as a matter of in two different ways, I came to find out it's not an easy drug to overdose on. For one, the minimum effective dose the multiple of the minimum effective dose, it becomes fatal at, is it about 30 times. If you compare that to Vicodin, Vicodin's about 4 times the minimum, no, I'm sorry, 8 times the minimum effective dose, it becomes fatal. So it's not very dangerous that way. And then this drug was a legal prescription drug for 5 years in this country, which is another really interesting part of its story. So for 5 years, Americans used it as a prescription and over-the-counter drug. So there's at least 500,000 Americans were estimated to use it. So there's a large public use that we have a lot of knowledge about this drug from. And
well, no, I remember in the 30s.
Yeah, back in the 30s. And in that, there were only 6 deaths for 500,000 uses. So that's very low.
Well, we're going to get to the side effects in a little while. First of all, I want to be a little bit of a wise ass, and I want to tell you that I find it interesting the way you pronounce it. I always was under the belief that it's pronounced dinitrophenol. From my chemistry
background.
That's my
temptation. That's my temptation. And what I did is, because I knew I was going to have to be saying it a lot, I went on to, I believe, Wikipedia and read how they, you know, the phonetic spelling of it. And they did it dinitrophenol. Whenever I read it, I always thought dinotrophenol.
It's dinitrophenol. I actually went on Webster's Dictionary, and
really?
You can actually hear them. You can actually play a clip, and they'll actually pronounce it for you. So,
just for the
trivia buffs out there, you know.
There you go. Well, I'll use that from now on. That's probably Webster is more authoritative.
Yeah.
So I'll stick with that.
Plus, the chemical. I mean, from a chemical standpoint, dinitrophenol is usually you pronounce all the groups. So
that's true.
That's right. Now let's. Now I know a decent amount about this, and I know John knows a decent amount about the drug, but you're you know, you're professing to be the expert. So if you could do us a favor, our listeners out there might not understand exactly how this drug works. But why don't you give them the mechanism of action of how this thing actually burns fat?
Okay. What it does, it's often compared by clinicians to physical exercise. And the reason is there is the energy that your body uses at a cellular level is called ATP. That's the acronym for it. And when you exercise, you cause a shortfall in that because you burn it up, you know, exercising. That motion utilizes that energy. And the cells can't survive or function without ATP. And the way they replenish it is to raise your fat-burning metabolism. In other words, your body starts burning fat. And that's really the primary reason you get warm and sweaty when you work out, because that's a hot process. DNP does... pretty much it burns fat in exactly the same way. How it gets there is, instead of exercising, what it does is it takes the process of your body making the ATP and it makes it less efficient. It's called an oxidative uncoupler, which doesn't mean anything to anyone, but what that really means, sort of my conceptualization of it in reading about it, is it more or less hijacks or overrides that process and takes a certain amount of that energy that would have been turned into ATP and burns it off directly. And it creates something in the neighborhood of it's dose dependent, but let's just say a 25 to 40% shortfall in the production of ATP. And as a result, your body just starts burning fat. So what's happening is, and it's very important to note that, as far as I can tell from everything I've read, and clinicians are very specific about this a lot, that's pretty much the only effect it has on the body. It doesn't really interact in any other way. It doesn't affect the endocrine system. It doesn't affect anything else that I've been able to tell.
Now, the uncoupling agents in general, I mean, I use an uncoupling agent in one of my fat burners I sell. You know, what they basically do is, the analogy I give people, maybe this is even make it even easier, is if you kind of poke a hole in the gas tank of your car still runs, but it gets bad gas mileage, and you got to fill the tank up a lot more. What these uncoupling agents do is they allow the mitochondria to leak the energy that would potentially be used to make ATP, and by leaking that, the cells have to oxidize more fat to make up for this lost energy. And from what I understand, at least, that potential energy that never gets used to make the ATP gets released as heat, and that's the heat you're feeling being liberated from the process. Now, having said that, is there a danger if you cause too much heat production in the body?
Well, absolutely. As with anything, if you take too much, you can overdose to injury or even death. And that is the one thing about DNP, and it's understandable that people get so alarmed about it, because the way you injure yourself on this is a lot, it's a lot more spectacular than overdosing on Vicodin, for example. You take too much Vicodin and you just kind of go to sleep and never wake up. Right. But you overdose on DNP and you basically cook yourself, is what happens. You get so hot that, I'm trying to remember the exact term clinicians use and it's evading me, but you actually overheat the tissues of your body, and it's because, you know, in addition to the heat you just described from the energy that is just thrown off as heat, the burning of the fat is very hot, and that's the, it's with exercise, you can only exercise so hard, so you can't really reach that level with it. But with DNP, because it's dose dependent, if you take enough, you can just kill yourself with it, and by overheating. And that brings up another point. Even if you don't overdose, if you're dosing strongly, probably the biggest thing to worry about is dehydration, because you're sweating a lot. And dehydration, and there's some side issues with that too, but mainly with dehydration, you need to drink water, and then you need to make sure to replenish your electrolytes. Those are the two big things. That's for overall, I would say that's probably the most people that have had any real problems with it at all is because they've allowed themselves to become dehydrated.
Hmm. Now, I've used DNP several times in the early 90s to great success. I mean, I think the stuff is absolutely a miracle. It's a phenomenally, amazingly working compound. And it's something I'll more than likely use again. Given the fact that not only myself, but as the logs that you've read on the internet prove, and of the studies that were conducted as far back as the 1930s also attest, and including the fact that the stuff used to be legal by prescription and over the counter, what conspiracy theory is at work here that is preventing the government from allowing this stuff to be sold?
Well, conspiracy theory is an interesting term, and I guess to some extent, it's an extremely small conspiracy theory. I mean, conspiracy in terms of the number of people that would have been involved in getting it illegalized, and now the fact that it continues to be illegal is as much a function of ignorance and accumulated misinformation as it is anything else. But this is the best question to ask, and that is, what would happen to the revenues of the health care industry if there were no more fat people? And really, they would drop by a third to a half if you really look at the facts and figures of why people are needing to go to the doctor, because so much is traceable back to excess body fat, especially obesity, but even smaller amounts of excess body fat are very hard on the body in a number of ways. The other major cause that people go to the doctor is aging, but those are the two biggies. And if you got rid of overweight people, it would devastate those industries. And so pharmaceutical companies, they would lose so many drug sales, not just their fat loss drug sales, but things that, say, cut cholesterol or even diabetes medicines to a certain extent, because diabetes, a lot of it is traceable to being overweight. So they would just lose so much money that there really is no financial incentive to bring it back. And at the time that they clamored to legalize it, you can kind of trace it. Within 6 months of its discovery, it was actually the pharmaceutical companies that were clamoring to get it banned. They were already fighting for it and pushing hard. And that's in an FDA document that's in my book. It's just stated casually by them as they go along. They're trying to attack DNP. And to me, it's really just kind of like, I liken it to a union in my book, kind of just fighting for their interests. And I think to a certain extent, money really drives people. And so what's really happening is that the financial interests of a few industries are so threatened by, to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars, that this truth will never come out. It would be, to the degree anybody looked at it, they would recognize the financial danger. And by the way, I'm sitting here thinking right now, Dave sells stuff that cuts weight, and I'm sure it works good, and it's probably certainly the best thing to do, I would think, given the legal status of DNP. But I'm impressed that you are telling your people the truth, and willing to talk about this, it shows a lot of character. I think a lot of people that were in that industry wouldn't do that, and I'm impressed that you do.
Well, we believe in talking about everything. As Mr. G would say, that. John, we are the truth, right?
The truth.
You know, well, I believe that. You guys are showing that. You're putting it. You know, your money where your mouth is, in that sense.
Well, let me ask you this, based on what you just said. There's an obesity treatment center you may have seen on TV called Brookhaven. They treat the absolute morbidly bedridden obese, you know, 800 pound plus people. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's not a whole bunch of them around this country. I mean, there's a handful, and these people desperately need to get rid of, you know, 300, 500, 800 pounds worth of body weight. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't a medically supervised in a facility such as Brookhaven, wouldn't a medically supervised treatment regime of DNP be an absolute life-saving miracle for this small handful of people? This certainly isn't going to upset the apple cart as far as the overall healthcare industry goes with respect mm-hmm. to, you know, the money's made off obese people, but these people mm-hmm. are dying. They're suffocating in their own fat. Wouldn't you know, a course of DNP be, you know, indicated for, you know, getting rid of at least the first, you know, 300, 500 pounds?
Absolutely. For the really obese, they used larger doses, and I've read clinical clinicians from that time. There was a Dr. Jacques Bell who was incensed when it was illegalized in the U.S., and he wrote a whole thing comparing it to thyroxine, which they kept legal, and thyroxine didn't work anywhere near as well. That's a thyroid drug, and it does a lot of damage to the heart. It's a very nasty drug, the way they used it for the really obese, and it was nowhere nearly as effective, and they kept that. And I guess to answer your, I think you're asking two questions. Why wouldn't they use it for those people? Well, in my opinion, the reason they wouldn't want to use it for them is that the word would get out. You know, people can lose a pound a day of fat with this stuff. And that, so eventually, just by using it, people would start using it in a black market way, even if they didn't allow doctors to use it for the population in general. But clinicians described it as indispensable for the morbidly obese. There was nothing else like it. I mean, they could literally take a couple of 100 pounds or more a year off of these people safely and effectively when nothing else worked. As a matter of fact, there's one study, there's a part from a study in my book that states that that they 50% of the people in one of their very earliest studies were people that nothing else worked on. No medications, no diet, no exercise. These people had gotten to a point where they could not lose any extra weight, even extreme dieting. And DNP worked for virtually all of them.
Well, I've been saying for years, John, that the future of fat loss supplements are uncoupling agents. And, right. You know, maybe, you know, if there's DMPs out there, I'm sure they could probably develop other ones that maybe have better safety factors. But let me just bring up a point. Number one, I want to just say random. I read your mm-hmm. book, and it was very well written. So
thank you.
I understand you're a writer, so that definitely showed through. But I want to just bring up, we've been talking about fat people. Let's talk about bodybuilders and athletes now for a second. Mm-hmm. Don't strong uncoupling agents, because this would be considered a very strong uncoupling agent, wouldn't that result in, and I've talked to athletes and they've confirmed this, that wouldn't it result in extreme fatigue for guys that are trying to, like, you know, have to exert themselves, whether it be in the gym or on a track or on a football field?
Yes, and the interesting thing is, I was just reading a very new DNP thread on one of the boards, and I noticed the same old pattern where all of the guys who had done it were all just saying, it actually was a thread comparing it to clenbuterol, and the guys who knew what they were talking about were saying, well, clenbuterol actually could be a little dangerous and is a little hard on you and causes your heart to race and stuff, and DNP doesn't do any of those things. The one thing it does, and person after person said the same thing, the thing I don't like about it is it really wears me down for my workouts, and I have a hard time putting everything into a workout. But they all agreed that it was still worth it because quick fat loss and I'm sure you know this as well as anyone, is important as the muscle gain. it's a two-sided thing, and it needs to be done. So they just fight through it because really nothing else works quite like it.
Well, I call it the lazy person's way of losing weight. I mean, come on. I mean, if you're a bodybuilder and you're living that lifestyle anyway, I mean, you could do it the old-fashioned way. But there may be a place for this. My other concern about this is that when you ramp up fatty acid oxidation to the degree that you're doing with a DNP, especially, you know, with the doses we're talking about to lose a pound a day, we also have to consider the amount of free radicals that are being produced as a result of the oxygen being burned. What about, you know, the possibilities of free radical damage in the body? I know cataracts was brought up as a possible side effect, among other things.
That's true. That's a really good point. You know, you do have oxidation, which is a really pretty much like corrosion, really, in the body, anytime you're burning fat. And I've never really read any reports to back this up, but from everything that I understand, I've never read anything specific, but from everything I understand, let's say you have 50 pounds to lose. No matter how you lose that, as you burn that fat, there's going to be oxidation. Now, with DMP, you're losing it faster, so you have a sort of concentrated oxidation. But in a way, that's almost a benefit because you can increase your antioxidants to counteract that because it's happening in a concentrated period of time. And since you know it's going to be happening, you can take extra antioxidants to fight that, to counteract that. But also, I just read something just the other day, it's new to me, that DNP actually, and I have to keep rereading it to really understand exactly how it worked. And I could send you a link, Dave, later if you want.
Sure.
It said that that DNP actually was found to be useful in anti-aging in mice because for some reason it short circuits oxidation. So even though there's extra oxidation from the fat burning, which is a secondary effect, it's certainly not, DNP isn't causing oxidation, but the fat burning is, DNP itself actually fights oxidation and fights aging as a result. I'll send you a link to it if you want. It was really... Sure. I was surprised to see that. So the more you read about, you know, phenols are generally cancer causers, but DNP, and every time they've tested it, they found it to be anti-cancerous, especially for skin cancer and breast cancer, anti-carcinogenic. And it's an amazing substance. It's almost like we have, I compared it to its usefulness to antibiotics. It's like, if you're religious, you know, God was kind enough to give us antibiotics, and when we finally found him, we quit dying from infection for the most part. And he gave us a perfect fat reduction drug because it is a scourge. And like you said, some people could abuse it, and people who don't need it can find healthier ways, exercise and diet and self-control, and I agree with all that. But like John was saying, for morbidly obese people or people who have metabolisms that are really tough in terms of storing fat, this stuff is a godsend. Nothing short of it, because it's just so harmless, really, when you look at it, as long as you don't overdose it.
Well, you know, the research is limited in as far as showing too many negative side effects. Is that something we should rely on for safety data?
Well, that's a good point. And there, I guess the reason why I'm so, dogmatic about that is that the Stanford University medical clinics did 2 years of human research, and it was large scale. And in the end, what they found is that it just didn't hurt people. And then there was 5 years of public use by half a million people. And Dr. Horner, in his 1942 document, kind of covers all that. And really, people weren't getting hurt by it. And so that's really, in the end, how we know that something is safe, because even clinicians don't know so much about the body that they can just look at a medicine chemically and say, well, it's not going to hurt the body. In the end, they still have to test it in people. And DNP has had enough public exposure. And then the modern day underground use, when you really read it, nobody's getting hurt by it. And then my own use, of course, and you know from your own experience, and you know, that's, those certainly aren't those are very small individual samplings, but it's all cumulative. There, I think when you look at the total body of knowledge, that most of the clinical studies are older. I do have one from the 80s in there, but they were done at very prestigious places, and they were very large scale. So it seems to me that if there was something really, really dangerous about this stuff, truly dangerous, that it would have manifested itself. And I think that what really happens is because it's banned, we have a tendency to think, well, in the back of our head, there must be a reason, therefore it probably is dangerous, we should be careful. But the reality is they didn't have a reason to ban it back then.
You're talking,
and so, you know, I don't think it's... Yeah.
No, sorry. I said you're talking to guys that are advocating steroid use. We don't we're not in that category of people.
No, I know that. I know that. But I'm saying in general, that's kind of what happens, even subconsciously to a certain extent to us.
Yeah.
Now, but I agree. I know that about you guys, and I'm with you on that. By the way, I think that steroids have a lot of benefits, and sure they have side effects and issues, but those can be dealt with. And my gosh, there are so many things. Growth hormone does no damage at all to the body, and it's one of the most beneficial drugs ever discovered, and it's treated like it's a dangerous substance.
Like it's hemlock.
You know? Yeah. I don't get it.
Now, are you worried? Not to put to compare you to Galileo or anything like that, but
yeah.
aren't you worried that the government is going to be really pissed off at what you're doing and this book you wrote and all this stuff?
Well, let's put it this way: if I got on some major TV shows and this started to, it's really resonating when I'm getting on radio shows. But if it got on major TV shows and people started to react to it, and they saw me as a threat, because to move in on, to do anything to me now, controversy sells books, controversy would create more, so they're best to ignore me. But if it really starts to take off and people start to become aware of it, and there's any kind of a movement or anything, I think that they would do everything that they needed to discredit me, because, once again, I think the numbers are pretty clearly, just for the sake of argument, let's say everything I'm saying is true about the drug. It's in terms of its, we know of its effectiveness is true, but its safety too. If that's all true, it's a threat to the, literally to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars to the most powerful, politically entrenched industry, which is the pharmaceutical industry, and then also the healthcare industry, which is the largest. It's hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars a year, which makes it trillions of dollars over a not very extended period of time. That's a lot of money, and people like that will make moves to discredit and undermine me. Yeah, I don't think that there's any limit, but to what they would do if they felt necessary. But and not to just throw the word around they carelessly. I'm just talking about human nature in general and people who find themselves threatened by my book. Yeah, I think I could be in a lot of danger. I think, but that would be in proportion to how much progress my book made.
You got to get it into Oprah's hands.
Oh my gosh! Can you imagine if Oprah believed in this and bought into it, the government couldn't stop it. Women all over the country would be using it in no time, and everyone would know the truth.
Especially if you lost some weight.
Literally, when I was writing this book, I was sitting there getting frustrated. I sit in Starbucks a lot writing, and I watch people walk in who are overweight, and you know, you're blessed, Dave. You're in incredible condition. You know how much you enjoy that. You know what a blessing that is. It's an amazing thing. I watch people who are overweight, and I'm thinking, if they hadn't done this 70 years ago, we would understand this drug thoroughly. We would have used it for so many years. There wouldn't be any fat people. And on top of it, you know, the FDA took the powers that it has now to decide what is a drug and what isn't and what's allowed. When they banned this drug, and they did it to ban this drug, and they did some other things at the same time, but they were after this drug, and it said as early as 4 years before they did it, they were planning on doing it to ban this drug. And since that time, Food and Drug Administration, obesity rates have gone up from 1% to 30-some-odd percent. This is what has happened under the FDA. I mean, you can't blame it entirely on them, but they certainly haven't performed all that well.
Yeah.
People are sicker. The medical industry primarily treats, and especially the pharmaceutical industry primarily treats symptoms. They don't make people healthier. They don't promote vitamins. You know, the FDA has tried to ban vitamins for over 40 years to one degree or another, certain vitamins or all vitamins or limit them.
They want to sell them.
Stuff like
they want to sell them. That's why. They want to make them by prescription.
Exactly. They want to sell stuff that's going to make money. If you make a certain percentage of the population healthy, see, that's the thing about growth hormone. It's as valuable as DNP roughly because it fixes the problems largely due to aging. And people from their 30s on, a lot of what we call aging is really just a shortfall of growth hormone because it's the master hormone that causes protein synthesis for the cells in the body. And about 10 of the things we call aging are really primarily that. And people that take growth hormone are 15 years younger. They really are. By the time they reach around 50, they are 15 years younger or close to that in their looks and certainly in that in a lot of other ways.
And their pocketbook, too.
Yeah, exactly. And see, they don't have to go to the doctor as much. And once again, a huge financial threat. So what happens, Roger Clemens is pitching for the United States in the Olympics and or in the World Games or whatever it was, and also pitching for the pros, and his elbow shot. Nothing, and you guys know this, nothing heals the body from sports injuries faster than growth hormone. And so he was taking it to heal himself, and you guys also know it's not great for making yourself bigger without mixing it with other steroids and things. So here he is. That's what they're after him for, is growth hormone. So he was making himself healthier with a drug that's a prescription drug, and the Congress is going after him. I don't know what the Congress's interest is in it. I could see baseball saying, well, it's like corking your bat, you were cheating. But why the Congress has to go after it? So see, this drug is attacked because it's so valuable and they're afraid of it. But a lot of rich people, a lot of movie stars use this stuff. You ever wonder why so many movie stars look so young? And a lot of bodybuilders are going to look really young in their old age. Look at Lou Ferrigno. He looks amazing. Sylvester Stallone looks amazing. These guys get up into their 60s
John
and
Romano.
Still look 40. What's that?
John Romano. So he's
John
up
Romano. There you go. I haven't seen you, John, but I'll take your word for it. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, Dave has to keep trying to convince people that I'm almost 50.
Pretty soon I'll be right, John, one of these days.
A year and a half, you'll be right.
So I hope I'm not talking too much or too fast, but I feel very strongly about this, as you guys can tell.
No, you're speaking our language. Let's go to something more practical, you know, for our listeners, because, you know, they all know where to get this stuff, and I'm sure now they're hunting their sources down now after this show. What do you feel, based on your research, is the best way to use DNP? Go into dosages and, you know, times a day, and what do you think?
Sure. Well, you definitely want to split the dosages up. So, in other words, always, for the first time someone's doing it, they want to stay to around 200 milligrams a day or under, so they can see how they're going to react. The major clinical report from Stanford University points out the only thing they found was an allergic side reaction, which is a skin rash. So you want to see if you're going to get that. And if you do get it, you just keep some Benadryl around. It gets rid of it for everyone, from what I've seen. It's 7% of the people who can get it, so those are your odds, about 1 in 15. Other than that, you'd really don't want to go up over 400 milligrams a day. If you're having to go to work, if it's in the summer, because right at around 400 milligrams, in my experience, for most people, it starts to become pretty hot and pretty sweaty, and you're just burning so much fat. At that rate, most people are burning somewhere in the range of a half pound a day or a little more, and or right around a half pound a day at that range. So when you get up around 600 milligrams a day, you're going to be so hot and so sweaty that if you go to work, it's going to be an issue unless you're in a really air-conditioned area and you have fans on you and that sort of thing. So you have to keep it lower. Also, if you have to work outside, a really good rule of thumb for taking DMP is you want to use the common sense protocols that you would use for exercise. So if you were going to go out and jog, would you jog in Death Valley on a 115-degree day?
No.
That would be dangerous. But if you another thing that would compare to that is you wouldn't want to take DNP and go sit in a sauna. If you did that, the only reason your body doesn't overheat when you know, your temperature doesn't really go up when you take DNP. And the reason is that your body throws that heat off. People sitting next to you can feel it. At 400 to 600 milligrams a day, people can sit in a foot away from you, can feel the heat. It's a lot of heat, but your body's throwing it off. Well, if the ambient temperature is 150 or 200 degrees like in a sauna, your body can't throw it off, and you could overheat. So back to when we were talking about overdosing, if the conditions are wrong, smaller doses can then become dangerous. But that's the same thing with exercise. And so you find that you want to use all of the same common sense things. Drink water, just like you do when you do aerobic exercise. Don't do it in overheated conditions. And then as far as the back to the dosing again, seems to me that everybody pretty much universally agrees that when you get up to around 800 milligrams a day, and I'll tell you guys, I have a son-in-law that did 750 milligrams a day for about a week as part of a dosing protocol. He lost 18 pounds in 24 days. And he's DNP is one of his favorite things in the world. He's really happy about what it did for him. But he was doing 750 a day, and I saw him when he was doing it, and he was sweating a lot. And that's pretty tedious. And, you know, it's all dose dependent, but if you're patient, you can lose the same amount of weight. Like you, another way to describe it is what you could lose with 800 milligrams a day in 10 days, you could lose in 20 days with 400 milligrams a day. It's the same total amount. And so why put yourself through that intensity? Just be a little more patient, and you can lose weight without. And that's another thing. This is another thing that's never talked about with DMP by anyone. If people really wanted to, you could go down to 150 milligrams a day and stay at that for very long periods of time, and you wouldn't even notice it. And you'll still lose about 3 pounds a month, I think, it calculates out to. Well,
now, when I used it, I looked at my journals before we had you on. I was doing 120 milligrams twice a day. So right. I would train early in the morning before I wouldn't take it yet because I didn't want to be so weak in my workout. I'd take it about an hour or two after my first workout, and then again, you know, later in the afternoon, 120 twice a day. And I didn't notice really any weakness, any fatigue, I was definitely warmer for sure, and I got shredded on that stuff.
How long did you take it for?
I think that particular, when I finally had it worked out, I think I took it for 6 weeks.
Really? So, you see, that there's a perfect, and for a guy of your size, I could see why it, especially, you would almost not feel that at all. That's very low dosing. You would find that if you did, I've done 600 milligrams a day. When I wrote the book, I'd only done it once. Now I've done it five times. I've done 600 milligrams a day for as many as 20 days. And it was in the winter, and I tend not to sweat a lot. So those are my two big benefits. But I'm usually around 190 pounds in that range. And it did not, it was not overly tedious or difficult for me. I was reasonably comfortable. As a matter of fact, I kind of like it because I live in Tennessee, and when it gets cold in the winter, it's really cool to not get cold.
Well, John, you're talking to the person right now who I'm sitting in my computer room with two fans blowing on me, the air conditioning cranking. I got my shorts on. You know I wear shorts in the winter. Right. When I sit next to people, they feel the heat coming off me. I must just naturally produce DNP in my body. I'm convinced of it. I must uncouple just naturally because I would die if I took the stuff. Yeah.
You're a human uncoupler.
Yeah,
but you know what? Your incredible metabolism. I mean, you're a big guy with a lot of muscle. I mean, yeah. That would be your metabolism must be screaming. I bet you must eat double the calories a day of a normal person.
If I just eat my maintenance calories, I stay like stage contest ready. So
ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, that's.
Is that about 4,000 calories a day? Or
yeah, five? Maybe 3,500, 4,000. Maybe about 4,000. But you know what? I can go up and down, and it doesn't really matter. But I'm convinced that, you know, all the symptoms you described, that's what I experience all the time. I'm always hot. Yeah. I'm always sweaty. I need fans on me. I need air conditioning. You know, that kind of thing.
That's because your body is burning a lot of fat because you're using a lot of ATP just because of all your muscle.
Right,
that all has to be maintained.
Right.
You know, I want to ask you a kind of an important question. How is DNP, is it scheduled? Is it a narcotic? What is the legal ramification of getting caught with a bottle of DNP these days?
I'll answer those as accurately as I can. For one thing, I did find a record of some guys that sold it in the early 2000s, and they got 2 years per count. I'm not sure what penal code. As far as I know, it's not scheduled. It is, you can buy it legally as a industrial chemical, but from the places that I've contacted, they want you to send them a letter and a copy of your driver's license. So they kind of try to intimidate you into not buying it for the wrong purposes, and the letter has to explain what you're going to use it for. So it's, because it can be bought, it's obviously for industrial uses, it's not scheduled per se, as far as I know. I don't think so.
I think the I think the license thing is because, you know, TNP is a precursor to TNT, which is dynamite, and I think that they're worried about terrorists. I think that's why the reason they want your
really?
License.
I never thought about that.
It's nitroglycerin, not TNT.
No. It isn't. It's DNP.
Well, DNP was used actually to ignite dynamite.
Right.
Initially,
oh, really?
That was one of its main uses. So it is an explosive, is another thing that people attack it with, which is silly because there are a lot of things. Actually, nitroglycerin is used as heart medicine.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I think the problem, John, is not that it's a controlled substance, but that if you intend to sell the stuff is serious. Because I remember talking to Rick Collins about this. You know, there were some guys facing some serious time with DNP.
Yeah, so selling is dangerous. I think if you bought it for your own use, first off, they'd have to catch you taking it because they couldn't prove that you bought it for an illegal reason.
Right.
And if they caught you taking it, from what I know of all drug laws, it's really the selling that's got all the heavy penalties. The personal use is pretty much not that heavily penalized.
Yeah, I think it's the sale, John.
Yeah. So I think that people who bought it and used it, and you know, I'm with you guys, and I know you guys are of the same mindset. People, if you wait around for the government, you're going to die from complications of whatever you're waiting for, because they're not going to do anything for you. I like people that are independent and smart enough and have the courage to go off and do what's best for them. But I would like people that use this substance, you know, because they found out about it from my book, or found out that it was safe from my book in the case of a lot of your listeners, or at least that there's arguments in favor of that, that after they do, to spread the word and tell people, because, you know, there's no reason for people to suffer.
Right.
You know?
A random night. How do people purchase Illegally Thin, your book? How do they get that from you?
It is on my website, illegallythin.com, which I'm going to be relaunching my website in about 2 weeks with a forum on it where people are going to be able to talk about their experiences and everything, you know, just discuss the drug and their experiences with it. And so illegallythin.com right now, though, you can go on and buy the book there.
How much is it?
It is basically with shipping, it's $19.95.
Huh.
So it's
goes back to that magic number, John.
I include the shipping. Number. And then is that the right number? Is that the right?
It's the magic number.
If you want to go on Home Shopping Network, it is, yeah.
Good, I'm glad to hear that.
And every infomercial you look at, it's $19.95. That's really made.
I guess so. And then Amazon, it's available on Amazon. And actually, in about a week or two, it's going to be available everywhere books are sold. You'll have to order it if you go into a bookstore, but eventually they'll start carrying it after enough people order it. So,
I want to ask you one last thing. I know Dave's getting evil eye from the engineer, but I got to ask you this one other thing because it's provocative. DNT, for those of you who've never seen it, it's a very deep yellow powder, and it seems to permeate the body very completely. In fact, I mean, my semen turned yellow, you know, so I mean, it's everything turned yellow. I mean, I was dosing it with this friend of mine, and we bought it in powder. As we were putting it in the capsules, we weren't wearing gloves, and, you know, we're sitting there in his kitchen, I'm going, God, it's getting hot in here, you know, but we had absorbed it to our fingers, to our skin.
Yep.
I mean, is what's the sort of, you know, is there sort of danger to any of these, this sort of permeating capability of it? Why does it turn your bodily fluids yellow and, you know, all of that?
Sure. Well, it's a yellow dye, and I have stained some clothes. I've had pills break in my pocket and gotten them on my fingers. And when I stained my fingers, they stayed stained a long time. I mean, it is a yellow dye, so it stains. And because of that, It can get into the body fluids and cause yellowing in color, but there's never been any health risks associated with that. Something clinicians mentioned specifically, by the way. And then as far as the ways that you can get it, you know, that you can absorb it through your skin, you can breathe it in through your lungs, and you can eat it. In all three of those cases, danger is entirely related to dose dependency, something that clinicians point out and that I point out in my book. If it doesn't matter what way you take it in. If you take in just, you know, if you happen to take in 200 milligrams, you're going to lose weight. If you happen to take in 2 or 3 grams, no matter how you took it in, breathing it or through your skin or whatever, you're in trouble. Eating it, whatever.
Right. Yeah. All right, well, Random, I want to thank you for stopping by. It was very informative, this talk, and I hope our listeners really appreciate it, and hopefully they'll patronize your website and buy your book, Illegally Thin.
Thank you, and you guys are awesome. I have nothing but respect for what you guys do, and I'm going to start listening to your shows.
Thanks. Spread the word about Heavy Muscle Radio.
Absolutely, right. I will do that, I promise.
All right, John, that was a great show we had. I really, really enjoyed Mike Torsh's stories. I mean, the guy, I didn't know he knew Arnold that intimately.
Yeah, me neither. I you know, he was so innocuous in Venice in those days. I knew Roger Collard. I was good friends with him. We did construction together. And, you know, I knew Mike Torsh through him, but I didn't know he was so close with Arnold. I had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know he started going out to Venice at 15 years old to hang out with Arnold and train with him a couple, you know, weeks out of the year. That's cool.
I did not know that. I didn't know he showed up that young.
I didn't either. I really, you know, I didn't know him that long ago. I wasn't even, you know, he's much older than me, probably older than you too. And he's got to be in his 50s, right?
Yeah, he must be early 50s.
Well, he was a teen national champion, teen Mr. USA or Mr. America in 1976. I was in first grade then.
Yeah.
So, you know,
76, I was 16.
Yeah, so he had to be, probably was 19 then or something. And so, yeah. he's probably like 51.
Right. Yeah, 51. Okay. The thing with the Wii thing was amazing that he was, you know,
he was right.
he was not only right, but the president of the freaking company called him up and says, "What do we do?"
I know. Yeah, no, that's got to make you feel validated if when Nintendo Wii president calls you and asks you what he can do to fix his games.
Exactly.
And Random Night was great. You know, I don't know what's going to become of this DNP if more people are going to start using it or not. Obviously, it can be a dangerous substance if you use too much of it or if you use it incorrectly, just like anything out there. But that's why I really never advocate it to any of my clients. I've never, you know, and I'll advocate pretty much anything if I think it's useful. I've never, ever told a client to use DNP because I just think that people are so irresponsible and they think if you tell them to take 3, they'll take 10 and... That's something right. You take too many of. You're done. You're going to cook yourself pretty much.
That's true. But as far as sane people who know who can control themselves, I've used that many times before, and I will use it again. That stuff is just amazing, and I love it. And people have been coming out of the woodwork telling me where I can get it all of a sudden. Oh, really? So,
well, stay out of trouble. You know, maybe we should get some Diego on some of that stuff. What do you think, Jeff?
I would like to take a lot of DNP for my pee-pee. It's too big. I make it small now with the DNP.
I think, Diego, I don't think you're talking about the right substance.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's too hot. I get confused.
I'm getting hungry. Go get me some dinner.
Okay, what time you like?
Me too.
Yeah, you'll be able to get served by Diego in another month or so.
I know. Right now, I got to go get a burrito or something. I'm freaking starving.
Isn't that Diego specializing burritos, Jeff?
Yeah, burritos on the sticks and chopsticks, too. What is true?
Yeah, I want a chow mein burrito. Can you hook me up?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Well, we got one more month till Romano moves to New York. The countdown has begun. I have a little counter ticking down on my kitchen counter there. Days till Romano arrives. It's June 1st now. We got exactly 30 days to go.
Exactly 30 days.
But I got one quick question before we go. How the hell are you getting all your shit down here?
Yeah, good question. Well, my good friend and partner in Mexico, Scott, who I've helped move many gyms full of equipment, is going to return the favor and actually fly up here and help me load a truck. And drive with me to New York and help me unload the truck.
Wow, that's really nice.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy.
I'll get Diego and Nick Palladino to help you unload the truck.
Yeah.
I got bad shoulders. I'll supervise.
You supervise.
All right, guys. I think we had enough for the day. I'd like to thank our guests for stopping by, Random Knight, and, of course, Mike Tauscher. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.